This must be a song about the north end of Escambia County. Over the hills. Because there are a lot of... Trust me, as a guy who had to bike them. I don't recommend it. Anyway, good morning. It's good to have you with us. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County Administrator. He joins us right ahead of the Thursday meetings that the Escambia County Commission has. Today it's a morning meeting. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. I always appreciate it. I get so much information from you, so I really appreciate you joining us. Somehow or other along the way, you had an IAFF, a firefighters bargaining session, and I think it's a pretty significant announcement that came out of that, right?
Yeah, so a lot of the unions, when the board approves a wage adjustment across the county, they'll have to come in, and they call it bargaining, but it's really almost a rubber stamp, if you will. But they approved their union members getting 3%. And so we did a memorandum of understanding that's going to the board for approval this morning, which would allow for them to get that 3% and also push the scale up a little bit more there for firefighters. And that's what that's about.
And also like lieutenants and command staff also?
Yep, everybody.
Oh, okay, great. Because I know in the past, sometimes it had been some and not others. So good to see it all happening. So that's great. And that's also, I know a lot of people will care. They may be upset that they're having to pay more with the MSBU for fire, but also understand that in part because of the MSBU and the funding coming from that, you're able to offer raises and, you know, that's all a part of that same package. And sometimes the other side of that doesn't get reported. The Costco hearing got canceled or delayed over the changes on Chemstrand Road. This doesn't mean that the Costco deal is not happening, though, right?
Costco's on the way.
All right.
Well, I'll say that.
Fair enough.
I'll leave it there. I mean, yeah, there's a few more discussions need to take place, but Costco is on the way.
Okay. I noticed an item on the agenda that I thought was interesting. A couple of them very interesting. One is changes to the purchasing policy, raising the threshold to go through the purchasing process to 100 grand. I think it's, what, 50 now. And then also removing the section where participation of minority and women-owned businesses. And it says here to ensure compliance with federal directives and to safeguard eligibility for grant funding. I know this has been a big push, particularly of Lumen May, but you know why would the county be getting rid of the concern about participation for minority and women-owned businesses in contracting with the county?
Well, for me personally, we do almost quarterly seminars on how to do business with Escambia County. We reach out to the minority businesses. We reach out to everyone. We advertise. We do it at Brownsville Community Center usually. We just did one or fixing to do one at the Ferry Pass Community Center. And our outreach efforts have really almost tripled. And anybody who wants to know how to do business with Escambia County certainly has an opportunity to come and participate. So our efforts in reaching out to some of these folks and some of these businesses has grown exponentially, and we feel pretty comfortable with that. And that's one reason for the change.
Okay, so we're teaching everybody how to do business with the county. We don't need to have special safety nets after the fact for making sure that we're getting women and minority businesses to be participating. I had thought when I first read this, it might be a response to either state DOGE or anti-DEI efforts or federal DOGE or anti-DEI efforts. But is that a part of the calculation too, or is it really just a matter of we're, you know?
No, DOGE really didn't play into it. There are some grant opportunities where we have to check a box, but for the most part, again, we're doing so much outreach that it's we're just really doing well in that area, and really don't see the need for specialized groups when we're hitting everybody.
Gotcha. An incredibly particular item caught my attention because if I understand it right, I think people would care. Moving to the uniform method of collection of non-ad valorem special assessments means that financial penalties assigned by the county, and you correct me if I'm wrong, like nuisance abatement costs, would get put on people's property tax bills instead of being separate from that. This is only for scheduling a hearing, so this is not the discussion of the item. But am I understanding this right, that if people have nuisance abatement costs, that those would, if this all passes, would wind up being on their property tax bill? Do I get this concept right?
Yeah, you're correct. That's right. And we've been doing this method for not necessarily the abatement costs, but the other for quite some years. You know, us, tax collector, property appraiser, rather than sending out three separate notices, we come together to send out one notice.
Got it.
But the the effect of, you know, when we go in and do an abatement on an overgrown lot or dilapidated house, we are going to, if it passes, we're going to start putting those on the tax bills in an effort, of course, to try to get some of the taxpayers' money back.
Yeah, and I know that we have all kinds of conversations about people coming and petitioning you for reductions or forgiveness for various kinds of nuisance abatement costs and fines and courts and the hard costs. I know this conversation we have all the time, which, you know, it makes sense to me on the one hand why we would do this because, gosh, we might actually get people to pay. You know, it would be kind of nice. I also think some people will react to this like, you're going to put what on my tax bill? You know, and so anyway, I think it's an issue people will care about. That's why I wanted to bring it to their attention. But today is only scheduling a hearing. It's going to be in a future date when we do this. Kind of a, you know, money juggling thing in a good way. I don't mean that as a pejorative. But, you know, $15 million being moved into deployment for the new fire stations, I think, are the ones that you're going to be focusing on here. That's what, Paradise Beach and, what was the other one? Suddenly it went right out of my head.
Myrtle Grove.
Thank you. The only thing that caught my attention was I thought the original list was the two brand new ones, the two refurbishments, and then Molino to have like bunks house, living quarters basically attached. The new list deleted Molino and replaced it with an unspecified location in Brownsville, and I did not understand that because Brownsville's got plenty of coverage. I don't know why we're talking about a station in Brownsville and why we're not talking about the one in Molino, but you tell me. That's why I'm asking.
Well, these are the first two in the queue, so these are coming and we're moving the money to cover the first two. You still have Kingsville that's in play, and we're moving on that one. You still have Pleasant Grove that's going to be in play. We'll be moving on that one.
Those are the refurbishments or upgrades, right?
Yeah, well, they're probably going to be demo rebuilds, and Pleasant Grove will be.
Thank you.
Yeah,
excuse
Kingsville
me.
Will be totally new construction.
Got it.
So, those two will probably be the next two that you see in the queue. And then there's been some talk of a fire training center there, and we're talking about that. But the original list, those first four are going to be part of the original list.
Okay.
There's been some talk about an additional station in Brownsville. And we're looking, we're talking, but the original list is still intact. The only thing in Molino there on White Ash and Dogwood Park, that we may try to cover that with volunteers and not necessarily a station that has sleeping quarters and those sorts of things. So that's something that's still to be determined.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like something doesn't happen until there's money for it, obviously. And the first two and the next two are, you know, no controversy at all. And it sounds like there's still going to be some conversation about this proposal suggestion of a Brownsville one and also what to do at Molina. I mean, I don't want to mischaracterize, but am I basically getting it right?
No, you're right.
Okay. All right. Great.
That's right.
Navy Boulevard improvement plan. This is one of Mike Kohler's pet projects, and I just think this is great stuff. I mean, if when this, because we're kind of in process now, right? We've got some designs in, we put some funding in. What is going to be voted on today?
Moving forward with a design, and we'll do a brief presentation from the consultant on what our conceptual plan is, and I think it's a great plan. I think it's going to totally rejuvenate and reestablish that area of Navy Boulevard going into the base. I think it's going to make it a lot safer, a lot more appealing, and, you know, we want to do everything we can outside of NAS to maintain our base and the security and those sorts of things, so it's a lot of it has to do with base security. We're going to have a turnaround there coming into the gate. I was shocked when speaking with the Navy that they turn almost 1,000 cars a day around.
Really?
At that gate without really a good mechanism to do it.
Yeah.
And so part of this design will include a turnaround there at the entrance to the gate, which will make things much safer for the Navy there bringing cars in and also for the motoring public. A safe way to turn around if they get mixed up, and also some wayfinding signs, letting people know before they get to the gate that, you know, if you're not an ID member of the Navy, you need to go to the back gate and those sorts of things. And I think it's just going to be a great project. It's going to be a transformational project there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautification project, among other things, better lighting, better street markings. Yeah, I mean, what looks pretty nasty, gnarly right now to make that look a lot better as the front door to the base, basically. I'm a fan of the project. Navy Point, the hearing on prohibiting new structures and prohibiting the county from ever selling lands. I didn't quite understand why this had come up so much, but I'm sure I understand why the residents want to make sure that, you know, things don't get built there. What was the controversy? What was the building that was going to happen there?
There was some discussion about a row house. If you know, I think you call it sculling, maybe, where the teams come out and they, you know, they compete with the big long boats and they row and such.
Uh-huh.
There was a discussion about maybe building what they call a row house there in one area to bring some of that competition into the area. And, of course, the residents were concerned, you know, well, what does that open us up to? What does that open Navy Point up to? And so it led to a bigger discussion, and that what we're talking about today will be the outcome of that discussion. I think since then there's been some plans to maybe move that or try to bring that into a different area, maybe one that's a little more conducive to the activity, if you will.
Okay.
And I think you'll see. Hear some of that this morning.
Okay, and I mean, I get the residents' concerns. If you let one, maybe you have to let others, and they don't want to see that massive park go away or change character necessarily. And then the selling, formalize that. That's an easy one. So interesting. Okay, and Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner Hoffberger wants to have a conversation about tiny homes. Any particulars on this yet, or is it just an open conversation? This seems like it's almost a cow item being had at the regular meeting. Is that fair?
No, there's no particular direction. I believe Commissioner Hoffberger just wants to hear everybody's input and see where we may lean after hearing their input. But it's just an open discussion, information gathering, if you will, and I think that's what you'll see.
All right, and we've also got all fantastic clarification. I appreciate that. The SEC is coming. To Brosnahan Park, right? We're having a women's soccer the tournament, right?
Yeah, that's right. Here in a couple of weeks, first or second week in November, park staff is wide open. Michael Rose is, as always, doing a fantastic job there, coordinating with the SEC. And we're getting the field ready. SEC is bringing staff members in already, doing their preparations. And we're looking forward to a good tournament, another good turnout this year. We've enjoyed a great partnership with the SEC. And we're looking forward to that partnership extending on 4 or 5 more years, actually.
I vaguely recall, and by the way, great if we manage to extend that. I don't think we have yet, but you correct me if I'm wrong for the women. But I thought there was talk of trying to bring the men here as well. Has that progressed at all, or am I mistaken in that?
I think there's been some talk. I'm not sure where that sits at the moment.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, very good. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, I always appreciate the time, the work that you put in to make the meetings run well, and we'll look forward to the meeting this morning. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.